Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Good evening, guys. Thank you. Thank you very much. We are in 1 John chapter 1. Verses 5 through 10, and we do it. That's great right there. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Joe. We do a verse-by-verse Bible study, and it's kind of interesting about John. John here is, he's older. He's viejito. That means older in Spanish. He's an older man. He's in his 80s. I like to look at the verses. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And we will pray in a second. It says, 5 says, "And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. 8, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." And it's really interesting, John is the New Testament David. It was a David, man after God's own heart. John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was close. He was close to Jesus. He loved Jesus. Jesus entrusted him so much that he adopted his mom out to him while he was on the cross. He goes, "Take care of my mom." And then he adopted him to her to take care of him. And he was about 80. His filter is a little impaired. You know, if we say they were a fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, you lie. You're a liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. And that, what was his nickname? The disciple whom Jesus loved. And he gave it to himself. And like I said, I think he was special to Jesus. I don't think Jesus played favorites, but he was special to Jesus because he kept him around for a long time. The guy was 80 here, about 80. When he was 90, he wrote the book of Revelation. He was on the island of Patmos, a penal colony, kind of like Alcatraz. And he was in his prime. He was still going and blowing as an old man, you know, as an older guy, still writing these things, wrote the book of Revelation. And he's a disciple. He was a disciple of love. And I think that's probably why he got away with it, saying those kind of things. "Hey, you guys, you lie. You know, if you say you have fellowship with God, you know, yet walk in the darkness. Hey, what's up with that?" And he was also battling this thing called Gnosticism. And it was like a bunch of weird people. It was a weird belief where they said that the body was trapped the person was trapped in a human body, the spirit. And in order to liberate that body, you had to reach a level of Gnosticism to be a Gnostic. It's weird stuff. And by vigorous, intense studying with traditional rituals and by adding experiences being whatever feels good, do it. Whether it doesn't matter how perverted, you give yourself over to it. The body is evil. And as long as it doesn't affect your spirit, just go for it. So John was battling that, you know, and it created a warped, ungodly philosophy. That's why he came across so strong, you know, came across really, really strong here. But let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I invite you here to be with us. I pray for an anointing. Anoint me, Lord. Anoint the hearers as well, God. Help them to hear you. I bind the enemy from bringing distractions here among us. I bind the devil in the name of Jesus. Help us to hear you very clearly. Help my presentation to be simple. I want somebody to walk away so I know exactly what he was saying. If I haven't done that, Lord, I failed. So I pray, Lord. I love this word. I love your word, God. Every bit of it, the old, the new, it's all inspired by you. So I love your word, Lord. Love the author. Love you. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Words are powerful. Okay, words are very powerful. Actions speak louder than words. Adolf Hitler, in his propaganda book, Mein Kampf, he wrote, in his book, he referred to the scriptures and to back up his philosophies. And the people, the German people believed, they said he was a gift from God. And he said he derived some of his strength from the scriptures. And he got some of his ideas. And I thought, really? His actions totally negated his words. You know, it totally contradicted his words, right? I mean, what he did just totally, you know, negated everything he said. Not only was he in bed with the devil, he was the devil. He was the prince of darkness. Nixon, President Nixon, in 1972, he won a landslide victory by promising all these things. And then Watergate went down, and all his promises went down the tube because of his actions, you know. And there are a lot of people, and a lot of people who profess to be Christians, yet the lifestyle is not in sync, not the same. The practice is not consistent with the profession. And I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking in general, the church in general, people in general. And the title of my message, my boy helped me, Jonathan helped me, is Fighting Hypocrisy by Doing What We Say. And we want to do right. We want to walk in the light. That's what it means, walking in. We want to do that. It makes us happy when we do what's right. And my first point is the profession of the hypocrite. That's the first point. And a classic example of the hypocrite is Judas Iscariot. He had close relationship with Jesus. He walked with him, he talked with him, and yet he was messing around in the shadows, going back and forth in the darkness. He was a pilferer. He was a thief. He was stealing from the money box. And yeah, he infiltrated the disciples. He at one time he did get possessed by the devil. Okay, I understand that. But I still think he had free will. He still had choice to do what he did. In Matthew 7, 22-23, I think this refers to him and a segment of people who were playing around, who had a close relationship with God and with Jesus. You know, they saw, they witnessed. What does it say? Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Practice. That's a real key word here. I'm not talking about somebody who, you know, periodically falls and trips up. I'm talking about a person that practices. That's the hypocrite who practices that lifestyle. You say you have fellowship with God, you walk in the darkness, you lie and do not practice the truth. That's a key word there, practice. 1 John 3, 7 through 10. This is a good text too. It says that, little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy. Whoa, that's a good verse. He might destroy, step on the devil's head, the works of the devil. He might destroy. No one who is born of God practices sin, because the seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. And if we do sin, man, we don't feel good about it, correct? We feel horrible about it. A really good classic, another classic example of hypocrisy, it's in the movie The Godfather. How many of you guys watched The Godfather? Okay, not very many of us. Okay, it's an old Al Pacino movie. He's Michael Corleone. He inherits the family empire. And he sets up this thing. It's really, really intriguing. He sets up these hits, all these assassinations, all these killings. And he sets it all up at a certain time when he's in the church and he's baptizing his sister's baby. You know, Connie asked him to baptize his baby. I want you to be godfather to my son. And he goes, yeah, be an honor. And while he's in the church and the priest is baptizing the baby, anointing the baby, he's asking Michael questions. He asked him, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Oh, I do. Something like that. Yes, I do. Michael, do you renounce Satan and in your life and in the baby? Yes, I do. And meanwhile, all these killings are taking place. And he's the button pusher. He's the one pulling the trigger. He's the one that's doing this to all his enemies. At the time, as he's doing this religious thing, and he's got an alibi. He's in church. He's insulated himself. He's smart, you know. But it was evil. It was epitome of evil, epitome of hypocrisy. He's saying all these things with his mouth. And yet he was pulling the trigger on all these killings. And you may say, well, you know, Pastor Hector, he was a thug. He was a gangster. He was a murderer. Anybody ever kill anybody with their mouths? I mean, we drive around in Bakersfield, right? Drive around in Bakersfield. I mean, the other day I go, idiot. You idiot. What did Jesus say on the Sermon on the Mount? If you call somebody, you say raka. Raka means empty-headed fool. Man, you don't know how to drive, fool. Then you've killed him in your heart. You've committed assassination in your heart. Now, I've been riding around. This is what I've been doing lately. These guys that drive slow, I say, come on, Grandpa. Get going. Get off the road, Grandpa. And then I start thinking, well, that's what they're saying about me. I got a little bald head back here, a little yarmulke. That's probably what they're saying. Come on, Grandpa. Because I do drive slow. And you have people like King David, a good guy, stayed back. On the day of battle, he took a vacation day off, stayed home, should have went to work, should have clocked in, David. And he stays home, and he's a little bored, too much time on his hands. And he sees this beautiful woman down there. He said, who is that girl? She's down there bathing. Who's that woman? She's beautiful. Well, that's Uriah. That's his wife. And Uriah was one of his 30. One of his loyal guys, one of his loyal soldiers. Bring her up here. I don't care. And he sleeps with her. And she gets pregnant. And then he tries to cover it. Davidson, he's walking in the darkness. And he's trying to cover it. He tries to get Uriah to sleep with her so he can cover the sin. And he won't do it. Uriah is a better man than David. Uriah is a better man than you, David. He said, Uriah says, you know, while my fellow soldiers are out there, I can't do this. I can't enjoy my wife while all my fellow soldiers are out there. He's a man of integrity. And this is where the hypocrisy reaches an all-time high. He writes this note. He writes a note, and it's his death notice. And he gives it to Uriah. He says, here, take this to the front, to Joab, to the front of the battle. And on the note it says, put him in the heat of the battle and then pull back so he's killed. I wonder if Uriah looked at it, looked at the envelope. But you know what he did? He delivered it and he was killed. That was the ultimate hypocrisy. And then David experiences 10 months of hell. Remember, this is a man after God's own heart. He loved the Lord and he's separated. It says his strength, his vitality was drained. He had no strength. That's what Psalm 32 said. He was separated from the Lord. He's miserable because he's accustomed to having that close relationship. And then he comes out of the darkness. He gets confronted. Okay, he gets confronted and he mans up. And David repents. He knew how to repent. And when God talked about David, his sin was the exception. when he saw David, what he did didn't define him. He was still a man after God's own heart. And the answer for David and for us, a solution is verse 7, if you walk in the light, as God himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the solution. And in the Greek, the word for all, what do you think it means? Yeah, all. It means all. The word in the Greek means all. And then he writes this psalm, Psalm 51. It's a beautiful song. Psalm, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sins. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. He knows how to write. He knows what to say. The song we used to sing here, I don't know, Elena, if you remember this song. We used to sing it in the 90s. It goes, have mercy on me, oh God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, cleanse me from my sins, and I will be whiter than snow. I will be whiter than snow. By the blood I am whiter than snow. I will be whiter than snow. David knew how to repent. Thank you. David knew how to repent, man. When he was confronted, he manned up. He didn't try and blame. He didn't try and pass the blame. A pastor was asked to do a funeral for a man that was a known drunk, a carouser, a rogue, just a reprobate. And his brother came, and the brother had money. And he asked me, hey, can you do my brother's funeral? And when you do it, I'd like you to say that he was a saint. And the pastor goes, what? Yeah, I want you to tell everybody he was a saint. And he goes, well, I can't do that. That's a lie. He goes, you know what? I'll give you $1 million. Will $1 million do it? Does $1 million make a difference? Because the guy had money. And you can pay off your church. You know, what do you think? And the guy, pastor said, okay. So the day of the funeral, the pastor stood up and said, so-and-so was a drunk, a rebel rouser, a crook, a wicked person. But compared to his brother that's sitting right there, he was a saint. So he got away with it. The other example is Hector Rizzo. Another example of hypocrisy is me. You've heard our testimony. My wife and I, we came to the Lord, and it's a process, something. That repentance thing is a process, getting right with God. And my son was already born. I was working nights at juvenile hall, and so I couldn't sleep at my parents' house. I was working nights. It was noisy over there. So I went to stay over there during the day and sleep over there. And eventually I moved in. You know, I wanted to help her with the baby. And we're planning on getting married, planning on doing the right thing. And we'd already gotten back together. And I remember witnessing to a guy named Jim Henry. And I was telling him, hey, Jim, I got saved. I gave my life to the Lord. And, you know, I've been praying and going to church and reading my word, and the guy said, he had the butter to ask me this. He said, okay, so you say you're a Christian, Hector, okay, and you're living with Elena, and you're not married. And I go, we're not doing nothing. We're not doing nothing. And the guy goes, yeah, right. He didn't say anything. He just looked at me. And when you guys tell me the same thing, I look at you the same way. And you guys say, oh, we're not doing nothing. Oh, yeah, right. But I was lying. What does the word say? If you say you're a Christian, if you say you have fellowship with God, yet walk in a little darkness, you lie. And you know what I said? I said, never again. I'm never doing that again. Me and Lena got married. We got married on a Friday morning at 10. I got off work at 7 a.m. We went and got married. Remember that, Lena? We rented everything, the corsage, the boutonniere, everything was rented. But I couldn't handle it no more. I couldn't take that conviction. I didn't like that incongruity. Second point is the proclamation of God. The first point is the profession of the hypocrite. The second point is the proclamation of God. God is light. This is the message. What does verse 5 say? This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God is light. Doesn't say God is a light or one of many lights. God is light. And the rule for the Greek grammar is the absence of a definite article, then it speaks about his character, about his essence, his nature. And what does that mean exactly? It speaks of his glory. You know, when my wife was like desperate, she heard that bad news and she couldn't sleep. She says, God, I need to hear you. I need to hear you. The Lord Jesus showed up right in front of her face. That's never happened to us. And the Shekinah glory, he was right there. It was the revelation, Jesus, with the white hair and the eyes of fire. It was the lion. That's the guy we're going to see that comes back. Not the lamb. The lion's going to come back again. That's who's coming back. That's what he looks like now. But it was glorious. What does it say in Genesis? In the beginning, when darkness was over the face of the earth, God said, light be, and it was. You know, look at our sunsets. I went riding last night, riding my bike. And I was out, it was hotter than heck, 7:30. I went out, it was hot. But as the sun was setting, it was reflecting off the clouds. It was beautiful. God is glorious. You know, God is light. In the Greek, it's a double negative. God is light, and there is no darkness at all. Let me say that again. God is light, and there is no darkness at all. It's bad English, poor English, great theology. There is no shadow, no blotch. He is pure. The more I study about God, the more we study, the more we look at him, we realize he has no flaws. He's perfect. No flaws, none, absolutely none. He is perfect. Yeah, he is perfect. God can be trusted. He is perfect. James 1:17 says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Okay, light speaks of the knowledge of God. God knows everything. He's omniscient. You know, he knows us. He learns nothing. He knows you intimately. You know, light reveals. You know, secret sin on earth is open scandal in heaven. When we do something here in the darkness, they know all about it up there, man. God knows all about it. We may be able to hide it here, but God sees it all. Light reveals character, right? Character of God. But it also reveals ours, our flaws, our problems, our shortcomings. When Jesus was here on earth, he was the light of the world. And what did he expose to Pharisees? That's why they hated him. That's why they killed him, man. He says, he exposed their self-darkness, for their self-righteousness, the darkness of their hearts. And what was the most railing judgment he made against them? What did he say? Hypocrites, you hypocrites. Look at Matthew 6, verses 2. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. 5, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. 16, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so they'll be noticed by men when they're fasting. These guys were masters at wearing masks, you know, walking around looking holy, looking good. The Greek term for hypocrite is hypokrites, an actor, one who wears a mask. One who pretends, the great pretenders. Think about the masks that we've worn. In high school, what was the mask we wore? Cool? Be cool, man. Aloof, indifferent, tough, right? Or what about the church mask? You know, the spiritual mask. Somebody asks you, hey, how you doing? Oh, glory. I'm doing great. Praise the Lord. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, how you doing, Hector? I said, I'm all right. All right? What do you mean all right? Hey, I'm not going to put on no mask. I'm too old. I'm too old to wear a mask. I don't care. And that's what I love about you guys. That's what I love about my church. You guys don't wear masks. And if you do wear a mask, you don't fit in. You're not going to like it. But you guys don't wear masks. You guys are for real. You're transparent. And you know where we get that from? Our pastor. Pastor Ron is really transparent, man. He's really open. You know, what was the song by the Dramatics? Remember that song, the old, what you see is what you get? That's what it is with me. What you see is what you get. Words don't cut it, though. A profession is different from a possession. How many of you guys are possessed by the Holy Spirit? Okay, if you're not possessed, you better come up and get the Holy Spirit in you after service. We're going to have prayer people of you. If you're not sure you're possessed, because a profession is very different. You can have both. You can profess and be possessed. John says, if you say one thing, yet live the opposite of what you're saying, you are a liar. Strong, strong words. Why is he so blunt? His age? Why is his words so biting? Number one, to live a lie misrepresents God. You bring reproach on the Lord. You bring reproach, you discredit the message of the gospel. People will look at a life that's incongruent. Just like my friend looked at me like, okay, you're a Christian, huh? All right, there's some inconsistency here. You know, you're saying this, but it's not lining up with this. Even he knew. And so what you say has to line up with what you do. And a lot of times when that happens, what do people say? That's fake. That ain't real. That's fake. And like I said, it brings that reproach to the Lord and to his message. Number two, to live a lie will misdirect people. People are looking for someone to point them the way. Deep down inside, they want us to be successful. They want us to be for real. They want us to be genuine, to be the real deal, to succeed. It brings me to my third PowerPoint, the practice of a true believer. 1 John 1:7. What is 1 John? But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The first PowerPoint is the profession of the hypocrite. The second one is the proclamation of God. He is light. The third is the practice. That's you guys. That's you guys. Practice of the true believer. Walk in the light as he is in the light. You know, when you walk, it doesn't mean meandering or lollygagging. Yeah, you guys ever go to the Bluffs? At the Bluffs, most people are like, it's intentional. They're walking for exercise. They're walking good and strong and hard. And there's some people meandering. There's some people, but not if you want to do something. And it means we're advancing. We're ordering our lives and our behavior in a progressive manner. You know, I'm going to be 62 at the end of this month. I want to continue to grow. I want to continue to change, man. I don't want to stay the same. In the light, it means we stay out of the shadows. In generically speaking, many Christians in our church say and think, well, the primary purpose for me is to be happy. And you know what? It's not true. Not true. Our primary goal is to be holy as he is holy. But let me tell you this, guys. When you are holy, you're happy. I'm serious. Holiness is happiness. Holiness is happiness. Happiness is holiness. Not perfection. 1 John says that. If you say you don't sin, you make God out to be a liar. He's not saying perfection. Personally, when Hector has blown it, he's fallen, he's tripped up with his attitude, with his eyes, with his mouth, with his thoughts, he's utterly miserable. Utterly. I'm very, 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 very unhappy. The joy is gone, you know, because that wonderful Holy Spirit is he, the one that I house, the one that I'm possessed with. He's grieved. He's sad. And sometimes it opens me up when I blow it. It opens me up to depression and even oppression. Oppression can feel like possession, oppression of the enemy. And it's part of the discipline, part of God disciplining us. But when that occurs, I've learned over the years to immediately go to 1 John 1:9. You guys can put 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, that means agree. That's all it means. I agree, Lord, that what I did was wrong. I agree. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I fell the other day on my bike. You guys have heard the story. And I skinned my knee and I hit my head, but I got up and I washed the wounds off. Kind of symbolic of the blood of Jesus. I washed the wounds off. I did not stay down. Like when you guys fall, you stumble, don't stay down. Get up. Brush yourself off. Do not stay down. Because that's the devil. That's that condemnation. It's the devil condemning you. It's yourself too. But get up. And then God will restore unto you the joy of your salvation and bring that happiness. And confession is very, very healthy, very therapeutic. And it says we're even to confess to one another. It's really good. 1 John 1:7. It says, but we walk in the light as he himself is in the light. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we have secrets, you know, in relationships, hidden agendas, which is highly damaging in your friendships, in a marriage, you know, it can be destructive. You know, when you say one thing and do another, if there's hypocrisy, it can bring fear, insecurity, jealousy. It's like a package deal. It's part of the flesh comes with all that stuff. And you look at Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve at the beginning, man, they were happy. They were joyful. They enjoyed that fellowship with God. He walked with them. He talked with them. They enjoyed that sweet fellowship with one another. They were naked, transparent, open, no games, no agenda. It was heavenly. And then what happened? The vivora came in. That's snake in Spanish. The snake came in and beguiled them, lied to them, and they sinned. And then God went looking for them. How did that dialogue go? God was looking and he said, Adam, ¿dónde estás? Or where are you? Where are you? And it wasn't a physical question. It was a rhetorical. It was a spiritual question. Where are you, dude? And he goes, well, I was hiding. I heard your footsteps and I'm naked and I'm afraid and I hid. And then God says, naked? Who told you you're naked? And how do you even know what that is? What's naked? Who told you what naked is, Adam? He goes, well, have you eaten of that tree? Did you eat of that forbidden fruit? Well, and you know what Adam did? He went like this. He said, it was the woman you gave me. He went horizontal, vertical. It was the woman, he blamed her and God. That was funny, huh? Then he went to Eve and she said, snake. It was a snake. You guys, when we blow it, man up. Just say, yes, I've done it. I've done it, God. Forgive me. Take responsibility. Did they ever get that sweet fellowship back? Did they ever get that they ever regain their innocence? Did Adam and Eve ever regain their innocence? I don't know. I'm not sure, but we can. We can. We can get that childlike faith back. We can get that innocence back. We can recover that purity according to 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins before God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Between Elaine and I, we have no hidden agendas, no secrets, none. She knows everything about me, man, my weaknesses, my flaws, none. Confession is very, very healthy. I want to end with this story. Finney, one of those great preachers. He preached a message on the forgiveness of God. And it was a powerful. He used this text. And it was a big revival in Detroit. And his message was on the blood of Jesus, God's Son, able to cleanse. And after the crusade, this guy came up to him. And he said, hey, can you come to my house, Mr. Finney? And they told him, hey, don't go with that guy. Don't trust him. He's a murderer. He's a thug. And Finney went anyway. I love that. Finney went anyway. And he took him to his office, which was upstairs from his house. And he pulled out this gun. And he goes, hey, he goes, don't worry. I'm not going to harm you, Mr. Finney. But I've killed 4 men with this. He goes, is there hope? Can there be hope for a man like me? Can there be hope? Is there any hope for a man like me? And Finney responded, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses you of all sin. You don't understand, he said. Mr. Finney, he persisted, you don't understand. I have sent 4 men on the road to hell with this gun. I'm a saloon owner, I'm a murderer. Can there be any hope for a man like me? Finney didn't flinch. He said, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses you of all sins. He said, Mr. Finney, you still don't get what I'm saying. I have brutalized my wife. I've abused my daughter. She came up to hug me one night, and I was drunk. And in a drunk stupor, I pushed her down. Her face hit the heater, and now she's severely disfigured. Can there be any hope for a man like me? Finney responded, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses you of all sin. And then Finney jammed. And the guy stayed upstairs all night praying, thinking, not sleeping. In the morning, his wife sent his daughter up. Daughter's name was Maggie. And she said, Daddy, Daddy, Mommy says that breakfast is ready. And he says, darling, tell her I'm not hungry. So she goes downstairs and says, Mommy, Mommy, Daddy was nice to me. And he said he's not hungry. And she said, well, you heard him wrong. Go back up and tell him breakfast is ready. So she goes back up and then he comes down. He shows up in the doorway of the kitchen and he hugs his wife. And he places his daughter on his lap. And then he starts sobbing uncontrollably, weeping and weeping and weeping. He says, I've sinned. I've sinned against you as few have ever sinned against anyone. Last night I heard this preacher say, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses me of all sins. Today you have a new husband. Today you have a new dad. What is that song, Oh Happy Day? Remember that song in the 70s, Oh Happy Day? When Jesus washed all my sins away. I'd like to go ahead and call for the prayer people to come up. I want to go ahead and end in prayer. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love, God. And I pray that if anybody is professing to be a believer, God, I pray that it'll match. I pray that if there is a little hypocrisy, God, they'll fix it tonight. They'll come up and fix it with you, Lord. You're very understanding. You're very good to us, Lord. And you don't want us walking in the shadows or in the darkness. You want that fellowship with us. Help us to walk in the light as you yourself are in the light. Show us how simple it is, God. It's so simple to walk with you. I pray that today, God, it'll be branded in our minds that God is light and he's holy and he's perfect and he can be trusted. And that the believer is to have a good testimony. The believer is to walk with you. Help us to remember those things. And just bless the rest of our week in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a good week. God bless.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is